Ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, it's another April Day game as the Padres close things out at Wrigley. And our host, Jesse Agler, knows one thing about these games.
The one in April counts the same as the one in July and the one in September.
Actually, he knows two things about them.
Hey, day game can screw up your schedule.
Which is something our other host, Kurt Bavacqua, found out on Friday.
He no here yet. He no here. He not here. Kurt's on his way. That's what they tell me.
Now, coming to you from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Kurt Bavacqua.
Happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. You know what we got today, Kurt Bavacqua?
He here.
Yeah, first of all, welcome. So nice to see you here. You got here very early today. You were here before any of us. You got here before Blooper, who gets here like 2 hours before the show.
I didn't do my Iron Man this morning.
No, I know. I know. By the way, there's a guy on Twitter. He's asking all about your Iron Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he wants to know all the
details.
How
come I didn't see it?
He used the hashtag PadresSH, which, of course, is something anyone can do to contribute to the conversation on the show. So we'll just throw that out there right at the start, hashtag PadresSH on Twitter. But, man, we got a lot to talk about today.
Absolutely.
First of all, if somebody's watching online at Padres.com/social, or if they're watching on television on Fox Sports San Diego, they see that you, Kurt Bavacqua, are currently in full uni. This is not a fashion statement, though. There's some function to this, yes?
There is. Okay. There is. The Major League Baseball Players Alumni Association, in conjunction with the ball club, the San Diego Padres, they're putting on a clinic for kids that they do throughout the course of the year all around the United States. They come to the different ballparks. And they put on 100 or so clinics for kids. Today's the day for San Diego, and I'll be here from 11 to 2, along with about 15 or so other Major League Baseball player alumni, including Randy Jones, Merv Rettman, and quite a few other guys.
Very cool. So Kurt will be out working with the kids today. That's why you're in full uniform.
That's why I look
– because you're giving back to the youth of America.
We are.
Yes. Good for you. Oh,
look
very nice.
Look forward to it.
We'll enjoy that today, and I'm sure there's somebody sitting there going, oh, how can I get my kid in? The event's all booked up. Sorry about that.
I think it is.
Yeah, no, I saw a note the other day saying the event was all booked up. All right. Yesterday, a 7-6 loss in 11 innings, and of course, that final score does not tell the entire story, not even close. If you just saw it going by on the ticker on the bottom of your TV screen and said, oh, the Padres lost 7-6 and 11, you would have no idea how wild of a game that was. The Padres jumped up early. Matt Kemp with his first home run as a Padre, a two-run shot in the first. That could have almost maybe sort of been a three-run shot. We'll talk about that. They fall behind. Cubs starting pitcher gets settled in. Nothing for most of the game offensively. And then down 6-2 in the ninth inning, the Padres come back and tie the game with a four-run ninth inning. Yet another example, and we've had a ton so far this year, Kurt, that this is not 2014. This is a new season for the Padres.
It's almost like it's reversed. It's strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the pitching, which we thought was going to carry this ball club, or at least carry its own weight, and it has done very, very well. But you get so spoiled when people go out time after time after time and just don't give up runs. You expect when they take the mound, they're not going to give up any runs. And that's just not the way the game is. Yesterday, the ball club scores four runs in the ninth inning. It was unbelievable. It was really a lot of fun and to watch that. And then the momentum completely swings to the side of the Padres. They didn't get it done, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, it came up, you know, just another run short maybe of being able to close it out. It was a weird game. You know, the bullpen usage was up early. You know, Tyson Ross didn't have his longest outing or anything like that. No, he still struck out nine guys. But so all of a sudden you're kind of left with a short bullpen. You get into the 11th inning. You're needing to use Craig Kimbrell in a situation on the road in a tie game, which is always a little bit uncomfortable for a closer. But I thought absolutely the right decision for Buddy Black. He's the best guy you've got left in the bullpen. I mean, it was him and Frank Garces. You know, let's be real. That was it. That was all that was left. Joaquin Benoit was not available yesterday. And so you've got Kimbrell and Garces, and it's a tie game and on the road. So the book says you save your closer on the road. But it was the top of the order, you know, for the Cubs in the bottom of the 11th inning. And I would rather, against the heart of the order, I should say, for the Cubs, have Craig Kimbrell out there than Frank Garces. Nothing against Frank Garces. Craig Kimbrell, one of the best relief pitchers in baseball. Frank Garces, a young guy, a left. Like, give me the best guy. And it didn't happen. You know, Kimbrell gave it up, but it was a weird inning. You know, again, if you just looked at the box score and you saw Kimbrell, third of an inning, whatever, whatever, there was some funky stuff that happened right there. There was a strike three that wasn't called. We've said that a couple of times this year that helped lead to some things. Amarista had a little bit of a bobble at shortstop that cost him. But Kimbrell was saying, you know, I wasn't that sharp yesterday. He had some control issues, couple of walks, very unlike him. But that's the way the Cubs ended up winning this thing.
Well, when it's 40 degrees and you're used to coming from the weather in Arizona to San Diego, and all of a sudden, bang, you get hit with that type of weather. It's a situation where you can't grip the baseball. Now I know why so many guys had problems with breaking balls and off-speed pitches, and that's the reason. It's because of the weather. You just can't grip the baseball. Certainly you can't use a foreign substance, so pine tar is out of the question. You can use rosin. I would expect pitchers to pick up rosin and really rub the balls when weather is like that, but Craig did have problems with the slider yesterday.
Yeah, he said he couldn't throw the breaking ball for a strike, and so then they're sitting on the fastball, and again, didn't get all the help you could have gotten from the umpire or the defense behind him. But hey, no excuses. Craig Kimbrell gives up the run, and the Cubs win it in 11 innings. Nonetheless, being down 6-2 in the ninth, coming back after, you know, 17 in a row, retired at one point for the Padres, it was fun watching that. And you don't ever sit there and say, hey, that's a good loss. You know, we all hate that stuff. But that was fun to watch. That was enjoyable. And, again, it sort of felt like, yeah, this is another game that we're realizing things are going to be a little bit different in 2015.
There's no such thing as a good loss.
Right.
That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
But there is such thing as going back and appreciating what went on during the course of the game. And even though the Padres' offense came up with four runs in a ninth inning, the part of that game that I appreciated the most and was really quite outstanding was the amount of pitches – that Thayer threw on the corner of the plate almost every single time he delivered the baseball. It was unbelievable the amount of times that he threw half the ball on the plate and half the ball was off the plate.
Yeah.
For somebody to have pinpoint control like that is quite amazing in a baseball game. I don't care what level you're at. Even at the major league level, it's amazing to be able to deliver that many pitches and have him be right on the corner.
Yeah, no, I mean, talented guy. There's no question.
Unbelievable.
No question about that at all. All right, so we got a lot to talk about. We're going to get to the weather in Chicago in just a moment. That's been a talking point all weekend. It's supposed to be ugly today. It might actually be a little bit better than we previously anticipated. We'll talk about that in just a moment. You saw some of the tweets flying through using that hashtag PadresSH. We've also got the live chat going at Padres.com/social hour, where everybody can hang out and have a conversation there. Corey Brock will join us live from Wrigley Field in Chicago. He, of course, covers the Padres for MLB.com. We'll check in with Corey, get the latest on the Justin Upton injury situation, talk more about that. I mentioned the weather, though, and so for the first time here in 2015, we've got our Maui Jim weather report. Are you ready? And the weather report is not for San Diego, where, of course, it is absolutely perfect, as you can see on that shot. But the Maui Jim weather report today focuses on Chicago, specifically the north side of Chicago, because we want to know what's going on at Wrigley Field. Here you go. 0% chance of rain, temperatures in the mid-50s, for the first little bit this afternoon. However, occasional rain likely to begin at about 3:30 p.m. And then it's going to rain all in the late afternoon, all night in Chicago. So now we get to use one of those great weather terms. There's a window. We've got a window here.
A window.
You love that in baseball, right? We always talk about that. We've got a window. So 3:30 there, it's a 1:20 first pitch. And they said the rain will start around 3:30. So you got a little more than 2 hours before the rain starts. And I don't know that it's going to be the heavy stuff right away, but it is going to get heavy at some point. So if you try and play 11 innings today, you're going to run into some weather trouble. But if you play a quick 9-inning game, maybe a 2-0 Padre win or a 4-0 Padre win that's pretty quickly, you got a chance to get this one in. But I would say be aware. Be aware. The rain's going to start, it looks like, a couple of hours into the game. That is the Maui Jim Weather Report, brought to you by Maui Jim Sunglasses. With lenses that eliminate glare and make colors pop, Maui Jim Sunglasses don't shield your view of the world. They bring it to life.
Yes, they do. And I have a pair on to prove it. I'm getting rid of the glare that we have here in the studio this morning. The ball players in Chicago certainly don't have to worry about that today, I don't think.
No, a little
they
overcast.
They won't need to use their Maui Jims. But good time to utilize the new rules in baseball. Stay in the box, swing the bat.
There you
go.
Let's
get this thing over with.
Let's go, man. Hey, quick win, 5-0, 4-0, whatever it is, 2 hours, 25 minutes. We don't have to worry about any of the rain. That sound good?
Yes, and these are mine, by the way.
Your Maui Jims.
Right.
They look good.
We did not get outfitted with
them. No. Those are your personal sunglasses.
They are.
I understand. You're a Maui Jim fan even before the Maui Jim weather
Absolutely.
Report. It'll be Andrew Cashner on the Hill today against John Lester. Lester is a very, very interesting guy to discuss right now in particular because of his issues trying to hold base runners on. We'll talk about that. We'll go over the starting lineup for the Padres and plenty more to get to. When we come back, though, an update on Justin Upton and his physical situation. He left the game yesterday with a quad strain. We've got an update today on that. All of that plus Corey Brock coming up in a little bit as well. Join us right here at Petco Park this Friday night for the season's first Beer Fest presented by Southwest Airlines. First pour at 5 p.m. Come for the live entertainment, craft beer from both local and national breweries, and stay for the rivalry game against the Dodgers at 7:10. Tickets at Padres.com. First Beer Fest of the year, Friday night, Padres and the Dodgers, the game at 7, and, of course, the first pour at 5 o'clock at the Park at the Park. Plenty to get to. Padres Social Hour continues right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines with Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. We are live from the AMR studio at Petco Park. A little quiet here at Petco, for now at least. Team will be back after a four-game series in Colorado. Coming up starting tomorrow, of course, first the rubber game, the rubber match in Chicago against the Cubs today. Got a bunch of Twitter stuff coming through, so we're going to get to some of these questions. First, though, the Peanut Gallery is checking in on both of our outfits today. You're in full uni because you're doing the kids' clinic today, so you're ready to go. You got the whole thing. Anyway, so Dave checks in first, and he says, a fashion statement is short sleeve navy company button-up, light wash jeans, mustard socks, and brown casual dress shoes. I'm not trying to make a fashion statement. You know, it's just we get a little more casual on the weekends here when the team's away. So, you know, the jeans. You got the normal blue polo. And, yeah, I got my my mustard yellow Padre socks on with the brown shoes. I like
those
the yellow.
Are old school socks.
Yeah, I like the yellow and the brown. I think everybody is aware of that by now. Friar Fever along similar lines. He says, I need a full uniform with sandals like the trendsetter at Kurt Bavacqua. What do you think? Could this be something that we get, you know, people to walk around downtown in on a normal day? Or should this be reserved for, you know, for the pregame situation that you're in?
When I wear these, my wife goes wacko. She absolutely hates them.
Not a fan.
These I grew up with these. These are shower shoes.
Yeah, no, that's like a baseball thing.
Yeah,
the
these
shower
are not,
shoes and
these
the socks.
Aren't, you know, I guess you could call them sandals, but they're shower shoes. This is what we used to wear in the shower. We'd come in after the games, and naturally, you don't want to walk around with bare feet, even though you know your teammates are clean.
No, of course. And that's
you're
situation.
Going in with shower shoes. That's what these are. And a lot of players just got used to wearing them.
Right.
Around. You take your spikes off, you wear those. I'm getting ready to put my sneakers on to go out with the kids later. So
this is your pregame routine.
Yeah,
this
I snuck out of the house so she wouldn't see it. If she knew I was on TV with these today, she'd be upside down. She'd be all over Twitter.
You know, someone's gonna tell her, you know. I mean, are we worried about an after-the-fact thing with her, or as long as she didn't catch you?
No,
you feel
because
good about
she'll
it.
Be up in San Clemente for a couple hours with my older son playing in a baseball tournament.
Okay.
So by that time, she'll have cooled off.
She'll have
She's
cooled
got
off.
Red hair. Yeah, it's tough to live with at times.
You're digging yourself a hole here. So we'll move on to the next Twitter comment, and it's actually a question, I believe, from 3B Zine Podcast. He wants to know if the Cubs are overhyping Chris Bryant by already selling jerseys and whatnot, similar to what the Padres did with Rizzo. Will it backfire? I don't think so, man. Like, I don't buy this, by the way. Like, you know, and I hear this from other people, so certainly not picking on 3B Zine Podcast. It's part of the deal that you don't hide things anymore. Like, in this modern era of baseball, when everything is tracked, and it's not just baseball, it's life, when everything is tracked online, and you've got Twitter, and you've got everybody knowing about these super prospects years before they get to the big leagues. I mean, my God, Bryce Harper was on the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was still in high school, and they were touting him as the next big thing. Like, it's just sort of part of the deal. And, if the guy can't handle that, he's not going to be able to handle playing. Like, that's sort of the way I look at it. And I think Chris Bryant is more than capable of handling these kinds of things. Does this worry you at all when a team hypes a guy up? And it's not just the team, of course. It's everybody. And it's the media hyping it up, and it's the fans hyping it up. I mean, is there anything detrimental to that, in your opinion?
I don't think there's anything different than it was 35, 40 years ago with the player coming up with the expectations that he had as a player.
Right.
I don't think it bothers Chris Bryant at all.
Yeah.
About the Twitter thing and about the Facebook things and about all the social media outlets that there are out there. And the fact that he goes into Wrigley Field and sees his shirt hanging up, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, of all the other pressure that he's got to have on himself, having his jersey in the team store, I can't imagine really adds anything to it. Like, he's already got the pressure of the world on himself, just knowing that, you know, this is a big opportunity and a big moment for him. I can't imagine that a guy that competitive and that talented is, like, feeling good, and then, oh, my God, they're selling my shirt. Like, that's not going to tip him over the edge.
Not
like,
at all.
Yeah,
you got to remember something. Chris Bryant struck out 5 times in his debut as a professional baseball player.
Yes, his first minor league game.
That's correct.
0 for 5 times.
Yeah. 0 for 5, 5 strikeouts. I think he's done pretty well after that.
He's done fine.
Yeah. So I would look for Chris Bryant to do just okay.
I have no problem with the team trying to capitalize on the excitement.
No.
That's good business. It makes sense. And now look, if the guy ends up being a bust, which none of us expect, it's not going to happen. But if the guy ends up being a bust, it's not going to be because of T-shirts or jerseys or Twitter hype or anything like that. It's really not. I mean, it'll be because of baseball. I mean, and this is, like you said, this is something that's happened over the years. You get guys that come up with major hype. They struggle. They go down. They come back. It works. Like, it's got nothing to do with the way the team is talking about him or the way a broadcaster is talking about him or the way some columnist is writing about him. It's just not.
Like, I like the way he's looked in the field.
As a Padre fan, you like it? Hit an error yesterday. But
I liked his smoothness.
Okay.
Especially the field.
For a big dude too. 6'6" playing third base, you don't see a lot.
And they talked about sending him down because of his defense.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not seeing that? You're not buying that?
No.
They might not have been completely straightforward when it came to.
It's okay. We all know the story.
Yes, we understand the situation.
Yep.
All right, so there's a little conversation about hype of a big prospect. I got no problem with it. Aztec Devin. A good friend of the show is up next. He wants to know if Justin Upton's injury will affect him when he comes back into the lineup. Let's catch everybody up first on Justin Upton. He left the game yesterday late in the game for a pinch runner, Will Venable. He has what is being called a slight strain in his left quad. He is day-to-day, but aren't we all? So, yes, Justin Upton, old joke. Justin Upton, day-to-day. Corey Brock tweeted earlier this morning, and, of course, Corey will join us coming up in a few minutes. He tweeted that he feels better, Upton, after post-game treatment. Not in the lineup today, but this doesn't seem serious at all. So that's good news, certainly. We'll get a little more detail from Corey. But as to Devin's question, I mean, he's not going to be back in the lineup unless he's physically able to go, right? So, I mean, when he's in there, it becomes nothing to worry about? Is that right?
I don't think so. I think you got to realize that this ball club just came out of 85-degree weather in Arizona. It came to San Diego. And then it goes to Chicago where it's 40. These type of little tweaks happen when you run into that type of weather because it's very, very difficult to fully get loose. You think you are, but you're really not. And as the day progresses in Chicago, it gets a little chillier. And I'm sure that's exactly what happened. Well, I tell you what, when the move was made, I'm thinking to myself, that's a little suspect.
When he came out of the game.
Yeah. I'm thinking to myself, why would Buddy do that in
extra
that situation?
Innings.
Exactly. Yeah. Not yet. You know, you only have 2 guys left on the bench. And when he brings Kimbrel into the game, because everybody, that's perfect situation. That was a perfect game yesterday, a second guess, or to look at certain things. How can you bring your closer in the game there when the game's tied? You got to hold him back. That's the way it is. That's the way baseball is. I think it was set up perfectly. I think Buddy thought that his ball club was going to go out and score runs. Second, third, and fourth hitter in the Cub lineup are the guys coming up to the plate. He wants Kimbrel to get through those guys. Then he hands the ball off to Garces.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, certainly. And it is a fun one to talk about.
But it was set up perfectly by him.
Yeah, no, he did exactly
when
what
you
he
look
needed
at
to
it.
Do. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not second-guessing the pitching move at all, and certainly you're not going to second-guess taking a guy out when he's hurt. Obviously, at the time, none of us knew he was hurt, but you sort of figured, hey, there's probably something else going on here because it wouldn't have made sense to take him out after he's out on second base. So, it sounds very, very minimal, the injury situation with Justin Upton, which is good because that's a guy you want to see plugged into that cleanup spot basically every day.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll get a blow today. He's not in the starting lineup and hopefully good to go for the Colorado series beginning tomorrow. After the break, we'll give you the full Padre lineup. There's a lot to discuss there today. A left-handed starter. I think it's only the second time we've seen a left-handed starter this season for the other team, Bumgarner here. So, you know, you change some things if you're Buddy Black.
How many hits you get that night?
A left-handed starting pitcher. Quite a few. 20, I believe,
I
when all was said and done.
I think
All right, one more question before we take the break and give you the starting lineup. It comes from Ryan Cohen, 24, on Twitter. How bad do the Padres need a good start from Cash today? How bad does Cash need a good start today? Andrew Cashner had the Adrian Gonzalez game his first time out. He was good in his second start. Wasn't great. He was good in his second start. Is this a day where you say, all right, Cash? I mean, psychology is what he's talking about here. Like, how badly do we want to see Cashner be his old dominant self? Is that a huge thing for today, or you just want to see him go out and have a good start?
I don't think it's a huge thing, but I know I think I can get into his head a little bit, knowing the competitor that's in him, knowing that he wants to go out and compete with the other starters on this ball club. So he wants to go out and give a good start.
Okay.
I'm sure he does.
No, I'm sure he does, too. But how important it is in the grand scheme of things for him to be dominant as opposed to good, that's kind of an interesting conversation to have. But
yeah, I'll take good.
I'll take a win.
I'll take good.
Exactly. All right, interesting stuff. We'll take a break, and when we come back, I'll give you the starting lineup and also talk about the other starting pitcher today. Really interesting guy to discuss in this moment, John Lester. We've also got a lot of good questions coming in on Twitter. Every Sunday at Petco Park is Family Day featuring Kids Fest with autograph signings from current Padre players, bounce houses, face painters. It is fun for kids of all ages. The next Kids Fest is a week from today. April 26th, next Sunday, against the Dodgers. Get your tickets at Padres.com. Sunday's fun days here at Petco Park. We are broadcasting live from the AMR studios at Petco Park. More Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour with Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. We're live at the AMR studio at Petco Park. Rubber game of this three-game set with the Cubs coming up at 11:20 this morning. That's when the first pitch is scheduled to be thrown by John Lester. So left-handed starting pitcher on the hill for the Cubs, which means some changes in Buddy Black's lineup. Let's take a look at it. Padre lineup is presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United. Fly the friendly skies. All right, we got some different stuff here today. Myers leading off in center. That is not different. Solarte batting second, and he's at first base. So Yonder Alonso, who's been red hot here the first couple weeks of the season, gets a rest out of the starting lineup against the left-handed starter. Kemp batting third in right field. Norris is going to clean up today with no Justin Upton. Middlebrooks at third. Jerko at second. Venable gets the start in left field. In place of Upton, he's batting seventh. Barmis against the lefty starts at shortstop, hitting eighth. And Andrew Cashner will bat ninth. So a couple of things to talk about there. First and foremost, I think, as we mentioned, Upton out with the quad, but he's day-to-day. It doesn't sound serious. Hopefully he's back in the next day or two in Colorado. But Alonso, who's been really, really, really good so far against a tough lefty, it's an opportunity, I think, also to get Solarte back in there and give him a chance to hit right-handed.
And Barmis.
Yeah.
So it's all good. It's an excellent opportunity to get guys in there and get them some at bats and also get Solarte back in the lineup, who's swinging a bat well anyway.
He is. You like Solarte maybe a little bit more from the left side, generally speaking, as a switch hitter than the right. But you got to get him his at bats one way or the other.
And speed.
Yes.
So there's some speed in there. Venable's in the game, even though he's left-handed. Against the left-hander Lester, and we'll talk about why you would want speed in the lineup probably in a second, right?
Yeah, let's talk about speed, certainly. So John Lester has made, one pickoff attempt since 2013. He's attempted one pickoff throw since 2013, I think. And it came the other night in his last start when he was bad, and he threw it away.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the whatevers, the yips, whatever you want to call it, on the mound, and Chuck Knobloch, whatever. And Lester, who's a left-handed pitcher, usually you say, oh, that makes it easier to hold guys on. He is having major, legitimate psychological issues when it comes to throwing over to first base. And you remember that wild card game last year between the A's and the Kansas City Royals when Derek Norris had guys running all over the place, you know, for Kansas City, and people said, man, this poor catcher for Oakland. nobody was talking about at the time that John Lester was pitching in that game and wasn't even throwing over to try and hold on these great Kansas City base stealers. So Norris wasn't getting any help whatsoever from his starting pitcher. And obviously the pitcher is responsible for so much of controlling the running game. Catcher can only do so much. So it'll be interesting. Now that sort of everybody realizes around baseball what's going on with John Lester, be very interesting to see how the Padres approach this, because I wouldn't consider the Padres a speed stolen base team. They got some guys that can do it, but they're not like Kansas City. But do they try and become extra aggressive, you know, and kind of test out John Lester today?
If Benoit gets in the game and leads off of first base today, he gets on base whatever way, he'll be stealing on John Lester if, in fact, he's still in the game. So you can look for it. The one thing about – the thing that amazes me about this whole situation with Lester, and you bring up a statistic that just is off the charts, that he hasn't attempted but one pickoff since 2013.
Yeah.
For that to go unnoticed through his free agent signing is truly remarkable. That is a major flaw in a pitcher's effort out there. That's all there is to it. I'm not saying that John Lester's not giving a good effort when he goes to the mound.
Sure.
But being able to hold runners on is a very important aspect of being a pitcher. And for a left-hander not to be able to do that, runners are just going on first move.
That's it.
That's all there is to it. That's what they were doing last year in the playoffs. Us watching the game on TV, we weren't even realizing that Derek Norris was getting picked off. And when I say picked off, he didn't have a chance.
Yeah.
He was getting picked off because the Kansas City base runners are legitimate threats on the bases. So we're just thinking, oh, he just can't keep up with these guys. You know, Lester's out there. They're going on first move. They're just stealing on both Lester and the catcher. That wasn't the case. They were stealing on Lester.
It'll be really, really interesting to see if he's able to correct this thing, and also how Buddy Black and Dave Roberts sort of formulate a game plan against John Lester, and if they sort of step outside of themselves a little bit today and do things we wouldn't normally see out of this Padre lineup in order to try and cause some havoc. And, I mean, you almost feel like John Lester's at a fork in the road here. Like, either he's going to figure this thing out and he's going to, you know, be successful again in holding guys on, or I don't want to sound overly dramatic about it, but this is the kind of thing that can derail a guy. I mean, if he can't hold people on and he can't throw to first, I mean, that's a big, big problem, unless he's just striking everybody out and nobody's getting on base, which he's a guy that's capable of doing that kind of thing. But I would love to see the Padres push the issue a little bit, even if it means you get a couple of guys caught stealing early, even if it means, you know, maybe somebody does get picked off. I think you got to test it. I think you got to get it in his head. You got to make him uncomfortable. You got to make him try. I don't know, you know, if that's really the right thing to say, but that's the way I'm looking at it. I would love to see the Padres kind of push the issue if they can get some early base runners and see what happens.
It should happen on the first pitch. I mean, I'm seeing what's going on right there, because it's either going to be a pitch out. I don't think you're going to see any pickoffs. I think you're going to see caught stealing, if anything, because it'll be a pitch out. On the first pitch, if I'm the Cubs, I'm pitching out.
Yeah.
And I'm telling Lester to quick pitch. That's the only way. He's got to do that if he's not going to throw over there.
Either way, he's now thinking about a bunch of stuff that, as a starting pitcher, you probably don't want to be thinking about.
You know, you don't want to think about the base runner when you're throwing against legitimate major league hitters. I know that.
Crazy. Very, very, very,
I think
very
it's great.
Interesting
it
situation.
Creates fun situations.
It does. It's a weird deal, and it's something to keep track of today, certainly, especially if the Padres can get some early base runners. All right, we'll discuss that and some other things with Corey Brock of MLB.com. He joins us next. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. We'll take a break and check in with Corey at Wrigley. We'll talk Upton. We'll talk weather. We'll talk Lester, Cashner, everything else. That's next. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. Beautiful Sunday here in San Diego. Could be a rainy Sunday in Chicago. We gave you the Maui Jim weather report earlier, and looks like maybe no rain for a couple of hours at least. We've got a window. We might have a window to try and get this game in. We're going to talk more about it now with Corey Brock of MLB.com. He covers the Padres, of course, and he's on Twitter, of course, at Follow the Padres. He is on the Cholula hotline. Corey, thanks for taking the time with us. Got to ask you the requisite weather question right off the bat. Are you hearing what we're hearing, a little bit of a window maybe at the start of the afternoon, and then all bets are off?
Yeah, that's exactly it, Jesse. I think everyone's looking for a lot of balls in play early in the count today, try and beat some of this weather. Both teams have to fly out today, so I'm sure they'd love to squeeze this in. The Padres, of course, don't come back here again this year, so if they were having to shoehorn in this game later in the season, that becomes pretty problematic.
All right, so fingers crossed from a weather standpoint there in Chicago. You tweeted an update on Justin Upton earlier. Sounds like kind of a best-case scenario maybe, all things considered?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, those muscle strains are never easy to deal with. They could be tricky at times. Sometimes trying to peg a timeline with them is pretty difficult. But he got a lot of treatment after the game yesterday. He said he was doing much better today. He's not in the lineup today. They're going to give him today off and then sort of revisit it tomorrow in Denver. But from all indications, this is truly, tired phrase, day-to-day. So, I think there's a possibility maybe you could see him back in the lineup Monday or Tuesday in Denver.
Corey, haven't had an opportunity to ask you about the umpires implementing the new rules in baseball as far as speeding up the game is concerned. But today is absolutely a perfect situation for them to do that. What are your thoughts on what they've done so far? And, of course, today being an ideal situation for them to say, hey, guys, we're going to do this.
Yeah, Curtis, it's a good day to drop anchor in the box and never leave, I think. A perfect example of that. But, I kind of have to remind myself from time to time to keep an eye on the hitters. And I've noticed it more on maybe TV replays of games where I could watch the batter a little bit more. But you still see guys outside the box. If they do, it's funny. Sometimes you catch a couple of these guys reminding themselves. I think, Jesse, there was a funny image the other day. I think it was Adrian Beltre who wandered too far out of the box, and then suddenly he remembered. He sprinted back into the box real quickly, And I think guys are kind of training themselves a little bit to understand they need to keep at least one foot in there. I think it's gonna be a work in progress for a lot of these guys. It's hard to kind of retrain your way of thinking and some routines, but I think by and large, I don't know if it's working. How well it's working. We've certainly seen a lot of Padres long games so far this year, but I don't think it's for that reason. A lot of pitching changes, a lot of deep counts, strikeouts, which kind of tack on a little bit time-wise. But I think it's a good thing.
Corey Brock of MLB.com on Twitter at Follow the Padres with us live from Wrigley Field. Before this segment, we were talking about John Lester and his issues, I guess, trying to hold guys on at first base, throwing over to first base. I find it to be a really fascinating kind of moment in his career. Do you think the Padres changed their sort of MO at all today? We don't necessarily think of them as a base stealing team. Do they get more aggressive and sort of test out, his situation at all, do you think?
I don't see why not, Jesse. And I think, you mentioned they're not a real base stealing team anymore. Where in the past they kind of had to manufacture a little bit and be aggressive. I still think, there's a willingness here. And the speed component that's on the team. Certainly Will Venable's in the lineup today for Justin Upton, so you have some speed there. Derek Norris can run. But these guys have been always good about, aggressive leads and kind of pushing the issue a little bit. And a lot of that credit goes to Doc Roberts and Jose Valentin working with the base runners and maybe just finding a way to gain an edge in that regard. So it's not always the steals. It could be the aggressive lead. It could be an aggressive secondary lead at second base. I wouldn't be at all surprised if they tried to push that tempo a little bit and at least try and force some action.
I look forward to being on the first pitch. I mean, as soon as the first base runner gets on first base off of Lester, if I'm Doc, I'm sending him, or Buddy Black. I'm sure they've talked about this. But I think this ball club's going to steal 10 to 30% more bases than the ball clubs the last couple of years, just for the sheer fact that they're going to get on base more.
Well, yeah, and that's, it was funny coming out of spring training, Kurt, kind of looking at this new revised, revamped, whatever you want to call it, Padre offense, and thinking of along the lines of Earl Weaver here with the three-run home run. I joked with Buddy the other day after Myers hit that three-run home run. I was like, hey, Earl Weaver, huh? And he kind of smiled. But, he's been pleasantly surprised, I think, that, I don't think by any means they thought this would be a station-to-station offense. But, you don't want to take the bat out of the hands of some of these thumpers you have in the lineup. So I think you really have to be careful about when you pick and choose. But when you are being careful about that, I think there's an opportunity to maybe swipe an extra base here and maybe get a guy that isn't tagged as a big-time base dealer. Maybe he could sneak one in there because teams aren't really looking for it. But, yeah, it's kind of a fine line. Yeah, sure, you want to be aggressive on the bases, but, boy, you don't want to take the bat out of the hands of some of these stumpers when you have guys on base.
Corey Brock is with us on the Cholula Hotline from Wrigley Field. Getting a lot of Jed Jerko questions still, you know, folks online chatting about it, sort of waiting for him to come around. I guess my reply to a lot of people has been, you know, they can afford to be patient with Jed Jerko right now because they are getting as much production as they are from the other spots in the lineup. What do you make of the Jerko situation right now? How much patience can the Padres show as he tries to work himself out of this funk?
Yeah, you know, they're still scoring runs with him in the lineup. You know, I think we're seeing some better at-bats in terms of maybe not expanding away as much as he was early in the season. And certainly last year when he struggled with the expansion, especially with the secondary pitches and not being able to get on those. You know, I will say this, and I know fly balls don't mean a whole lot unless they go over the fence, but, you know, there's at least three times in this series so far where he's flown out to the warning track where balls have been cut down by the wind. We always talk about, you know, you hear about Wrigley Field and you just assume this place is a bandbox a little bit, but we've seen a lot of balls get cut down by the wind. I'm thinking specifically of that Kemp at bat yesterday, Jesse, late in the game where Jorge Solar made that nice catch out in right field. You know, I think on a June afternoon, that ball's probably, you know, 10 feet back. So I think in general, maybe the at-bats are getting better. I know he's working hard with Mark Kotze and Alonzo Powell to tighten up that swing and kind of shorten himself to the ball a little bit. So, yeah, again, they're scoring, you know, they scored six runs yesterday. The offense is up a tick. It's not really problematic. They would love to get this guy going. You know, there's no two ways of looking at it. They want to get him going. They want to get him right. But, you know, if push comes to shove and they need to make a change there, they know they have a capable guy in Solarte who could step in.
Corey, Jim LaFever did a study over 10,000 major league at-bats when he was with the San Francisco Giant organization. And I'm talking about major league at-bats. Fly balls hit into the outfield at the major league level, 10,000 at-bats, the batting average was .088. I would much rather see Jed Jerko hitting the ball the other way and from left center to the right field line. I think when he stops turning over on the ball is when he's going to become successful.
Just haven't seen a whole lot of willingness or the ability, I should say, maybe not the willingness to take that ball up the middle and take it to right field, as you said, Kurt, especially, you know, some of that soft stuff, the secondary pitches away. We've seen a few guys in this lineup. We talk about guys with all fields power, but, you know, you talk about Will Myers and Will Middlebrooks, guys who are willing to take that ball in the outer third the other way and not get pull conscious with it. So, you know, I think this is all kind of part of the equation of what they want to get him to do is use the entire field, shorten that swing, and, you know, take that pitch on the outer third the other way instead of rolling over and having a 6-3.
Corey Brock covers the Padres for MLB.com. Really good conversation from Wrigley Field this morning. One more for you. Andrew Cashner, third start of the year this afternoon at Wrigley. What are we looking for out of Cash today after his first two starts?
Yeah, with that rain coming, Jesse, like I said, Ball's in play early in the count, but you know, I thought he took a fairly big step forward from start one to start two. You know, we talked about the first start against the Dodgers with three home runs to Adrian Gonzalez, but I think we saw, you know, a lot more secondary pitches. The slider came into play in that second start the other day. You know, had a lot of strikeouts again, but, you know, I think it's a matter of keeping guys off balance, and maybe it's, saving some bullets a little bit and trying to get outs early in the count. I think that's when Andrew Cashner has been his best. I was joking with someone the other day that someone was complaining that he doesn't strike out people enough anymore, and I said, yeah, well, I think he's a better pitcher now. You know, I think because he understands that you don't have to throw the ball 100 miles an hour past a guy to be successful. You could work smart. You can get those balls in play early in the count, get a lot of worm burners there and get your infielders into the game and work more efficiently. So I would expect to see him expand on that. I would look for more secondary pitches and, of course, a better fastball command.
Good stuff. Corey Brock, MLB.com, on Twitter, @FollowThePadres. Corey, always appreciate it. Good luck with the weather today in Chicago. We're all pulling for you.
Wonderful. Thanks, guys.
All right, Corey Brock on the Cholula Hotline. Cholula Hot Sauce is the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap for a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano. Check out the new green pepper sauce flavor today. Good stuff there with Corey Brock.
Corey knows his stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
He really does.
He's all over it. He covers the team on a daily basis. Everybody seems to be talking about the weather in Chicago, understandably. 1:20 local time, first pitch, and they're saying the rain starts 3:30, 3:45, maybe 4. So you got a shot. You got a shot to get this one in.
I think a good one.
Yeah, but if it's like, you know, if you're 2.5 hours in and it's the top of the sixth, we could run into some trouble. Could run into some trouble.
I don't think there's any doubt that you might look into what you might do when the game gets postponed due to the rain starting in the fifth, sixth, seventh inning.
Yeah, you got to check that scoreboard, too. See where you're at.
Because that could very well happen.
Yeah. All right, good stuff. We'll pay attention to the weather, obviously, throughout the day. Are you looking for paradise? Who's not? Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious, made-to-order, fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Waui locations here inside Petco Park at the Park at the Park, also on the Mercado. Plus, they are located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Maui Waui Hawaiian smoothies. We'll take a break, come back, talk more about today's rubber match against the Cubs. Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, continues after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park. Padres and the Cubs. Rubber game, Wrigley Field. Not a cloud in the sky, by the way, right now at Wrigley. Just got that report.
Really?
But the rain is supposed to roll in the next couple of hours. But classic Midwest weather kind of situation. Just absolutely perfect looking, apparently, right now at Wrigley Field. A little chilly, you know, in the 50s. But yeah, they're telling me not a cloud in the sky this moment at Wrigley Field. Hey, at the beginning of the show, we talked about your outfit. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if somebody tuned in after that, as Scott
they're
Kaplan,
confused.
Mighty 1090, our friend. Yeah, so Kaplan's on Twitter, and he wants to know, you're in full uni.
Yes.
But there's a very good reason for it. You're giving back to the youth of San Diego today.
That's correct. We're doing a clinic out here from 11 to 2 in conjunction with the Major League Baseball Players Alumni Association and the San Diego Padre baseball team. And there's going to be about 15 of us out here at 5 or 6 different stations for 3 hours teaching the kids the game and to enjoy it. And for those that are serious about it, giving them some fundamentals and showing them how the game should be played.
So there you go. That is why Kurt Bavacqua is in full uni with the shower shoes or the shower sandals because you don't want to wear your spikes in the studio. I appreciate that. We don't want you clacking around in Blooper Studio here.
See, Kaplan's lucky that people can't see him on the air. He gets on my stuff. He got on my threads last time.
The jacket, right?
Yeah.
The members-only jacket?
It's not a members-only jacket.
Oh, okay. Sorry, my bad.
It might look like one. Well, you got it from him, probably, reading
Twitter.
Yeah,
no, of course, yeah.
See, that's the stuff that he starts.
He's a good radio guy. He knows how to start stuff.
I know, exactly.
That's the key to sports talk radio.
Yeah. My co-host on Saturday afternoons.
That's right, on the pregame show. Yeah. We got this John Lester thing. I don't want to make it sound like I'm making a mountain out of a molehill. Love that phrase. Like, I think this is a really, really big deal, and I think we've sort of reached a tipping point with John Lester and the throwing over to first or the not being able to throw over to first, and that's why I'm so fascinated by how the Padres are going to approach things today. I want to see some early base runners. I want to see Myers and Solarte get on, and I want to see some action. I want to see some things happening. This is a real thing. We're talking about a, like, really big deal here, and it's been very under the radar for the last year or so, but I think this John Lester situation is about to get really, really big, and now you know about it.
You know, something else that we didn't talk about, John Lester's having trouble throwing the bases.
Yes.
Not just first base.
Yeah, no, on fielded plays, too. You want to see some bunts. Is that where you're going with this?
Possibly bunts. All right. That's exactly where I was going with it.
I like it.
That's good.
Thank you. One of the newest seating areas at Petco Park is The Rail, presented by Montalvo Tequila. These seats are located on the rail of the Western Metal Supply Company building and feature in-seat waiter service from the loft presented by Budweiser and food from Rymals. Buy tickets to sit at the rail for the next homestand at Padres.com. Take a break. Come back. Wrap up Social Hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Wrapping up Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, less than an hour away from first pitch in Chicago, John Lester and Andrew Kashner. Interesting note from the world of baseball broadcasting yesterday. Pete Rose, your boy, has been hired by Fox Sports to appear as a studio analyst. How do you think that's going to go?
I Don't know.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see, actually. I really, really, really can't.
I mean, from a Fox perspective, that's a fascinating hire. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. To get the guy on television talking about the games, and like you, I have no idea if he's going to be any good at it or not, but boy, is that interesting and compelling.
I am hoping that that Pete is politically correct in everything that he goes about saying while he's on the air, and hopefully that's going to help him get back into the game.
It's a big opportunity for him.
It really is. Yeah. I think it is.
Good point. Very, very interesting stuff. We're back tomorrow before game one against the Rockies at 4 p.m. Enjoy the rubber match, everybody.